Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs and have some fun.
You gotta give us a shot.
You know what?
You gotta give us a shot.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Clapback Sports. Fresh off a two-week hiatus, thanks to my two fucking lazy co-hosts. What is up, boys? How are you doing?
Why do you attribute it to laziness?
We don't talk about team. No.
I don't understand. Like
we just... don't talk about team. No.
Character counts, Mage. Character counts.
We took these weeks off because of this reason right here. We're excited to record.
Yeah. Excited to record. I'm not excited to do anything with you, Murph. By the way, my invitation still hasn't arrived. I really appreciate it.
Literally sent you a video of me putting it into the mail earlier, and you didn't even fucking respond. So I don't even feel bad anymore.
Unbelievable. Tino, I hope you enjoy Murph's wedding because I'm not fucking going. How are you, Tino?
I'm doing good. The Giants are in the news for good things, and it is why Murph was alluding to we were excited about this. Last time we were on the show, we did the speculation that we needed to as the Giants decided to move on from our former regime. And this is exactly what was on top of our wish list. The only question was if we got Shane and we didn't get Dable, how we would feel. We don't have to worry about that. We got them both. And now we're coming for Ken Dorsey. I want them all. Give me the
that's it. That's pretty much the whole episode. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in this week. Appreciate you for listening.
Know your opinion on anything.
Mage, have you ever had a climax? Have you ever climaxed before?
Have I ever climaxed? Absolutely not. No.
Oh, okay. Well, this is the end of the climax. So we've been waiting for 2 weeks, and this is the end of the climax. The new era is here, baby. Mm-hmm. It's BDE, Brian Dable Energy, Big Dick Energy, New York. Never had a climax, Mish. You're staring at me like you're confused.
I did like your BDE tweet as soon as it came out, and I didn't know that that's what you were trying to say. It meant, like, I thought it was just Big Dick Energy, but he does have Big Dick Energy. I, for one, love how round he is and how much of Mage he kind of looks like when you think about it. Mage just needs to grow his beard out a little bit more, get the playoff beard going, and I think he's looking very Dable-esque.
Yeah, our boy Matt, Mr. Chris 172, has been calling me Mage Dable ever since he's been hired. So I guess there is a little bit of an uncanny difference there with the belly and the bald head and the beard. I guess anybody could look like Brian Dable.
No, but not the belly. That man is fucking huge, dude. He's very round, like Tino said.
And
that is one aspect, Mage, that I will agree with. You got some work to do there. You're
and the difference is he pucks too. I mean, he has so many kids. Like we've already established, Mage has never climaxed before. So
no, I'm not even sure where climax is. Is that the ice cream bar with the chocolate on the outside?
Yeah,
that's every ice cream
bar. What would you do for a climax bar? Right.
Yep, that's exactly what we're going for here.
Well, I'm glad that we got all the orgasms and climax out of the way.
Can't wait till my father listens this week.
Has your father ever climaxed? That's the question.
No, I said, God. Well, I mean, I am here, so.
All right. Well, I mean.
Well, we don't know.
You know, yeah. Anyways. I could go into a whole nother direction about that. We want to start talking about Mrs. Murphy, but I guess we'll leave that for another show. I'll spare you that one, Murph.
What do you want to start with, Mage? What do you want to start with?
I'm just happy to be back on the podcast this week. Matter of fact, you know what? Philip almost had a heart attack. Or actually, Philip thought I had a heart attack because we hadn't recorded in 2 weeks. So Philip was concerned about my health.
And then
last episode.
The liar that you are, you put blame on me and Murph when we both said we were willing to record. And you said you weren't in a good mood.
No, actually, no. Excuse me. First of all, mental health matters. Okay, Tino. Okay. I was not in a good mood that day, but you had already said, why don't we wait until we hire the coach, which will probably be at the end of the week.
We knew it was going to happen.
All right. So why are you blaming on me? Because I didn't want to go on a Monday.
Well, we could have talked about
Shane. You said wait till the end of the week. What was I supposed to do, Tino? We don't talk about team. No, no, no.
So what do you want to talk about?
Well, I don't know. We're here. We waited 2 weeks for this big reveal so we could talk about Joe Shane and Brian Daboll now. So I don't know, because I've been talking about it already for 2 weeks. So, you know, I want you guys just talk. I'll sit here.
I feel like you're kind of pissy about it. I mean, I know you were on the side of things where when everything happened, you were yelling at me on this podcast and telling me you don't do it yet. You don't do it yet. You don't do it yet. So on and so forth. I'm team getting rid of him. But you didn't know what you wanted. Is this what you wanted? Would you agree this is probably the best case that could have came out of this in terms of where we got left off?
I told you guys during the season, I told you on the podcast, and I also have Twitter record of it. I said, Brian Daboll, that is the only guy that would have fit my criteria if we're getting rid of Joe Judge. So, yes, I'm happy we got Brian Daboll, Tino.
Okay. Best case scenario? Best case scenario so far?
Yeah, I mean, all right, so
yes,
as far as the GM candidates go, let's start with the GM candidates, right? So we got rid of Joe Judge. We got rid of Dave Gettleman. Then Joe Judge was fired. I don't think we've done a show since Joe Judge was fired. Have we? Probably not, right?
You freaked out. Was the last episode.
Yeah, but that was, I believe that was before Joe Judge was fired, no?
Yeah, it was, because you were freaking out about not firing Joe Judge.
All right, yeah. So, I mean, Joe Judge was fired, and I mean, it was in hindsight. Look, I mean, first of all, let's go back to Joe Judge. How fucked up is it that Joe Judge got canned? I know a lot of people will say, nah, it's not fucked up, this, that, or the other thing. Wanted Brian Daboll as his OC.
I don't give a fuck what anyone says. We fucked that man over. You know he's sitting at home. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like,
no, he doesn't care because he's got $15 million to wear his
whatever. Joe Judge was in over his head, for sure. But
Merv, before you end up stealing my thunder, I mean, that's the whole point. He wanted Brian Daboll as his OC. Joe Judge would have been the head coach. Now Brian Daboll today says he's okay with keeping Patrick Graham. Seemingly nothing would have changed except for the head coach and the general manager.
And that worries me a little bit, man. I do think there's going to be a change, though, but not the change that we all were expecting, especially with the Graham news.
It's in terms of what, though?
I mean, look, I was Daboll or bust guy. I was Joe Shane or bust guy. So I'm very happy with what happened. But I'm kind of with Mage because, like, you could have just probably put Shane in there and been in a similar situation. But that raises the question, who would the OC have been? That's a whole story for a whole other day.
Which we have to sort out, because I do think that's something to this, because a lot of people give Daboll the credit when I think Dable's the first one to be like, no, you know, Dorsey had a lot to do with Josh Allen's growth.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's a big part of this as well, but it seems like that's going to happen. And I saw Mage tweeting about this.
Yeah. And it's weird. Like, all this is weird because it's all full circle. But I was thinking about this today, and the NFL is just, like, so evolved since what we grew up as kids. Like, those guys are all gone. Everybody's shuffled out of the NFL. So, like, the Belichick tree, y'all see my hands, it really doesn't mean anything anymore, man. Like, because, like, it's the same thing with the Andy Reid tree. Like, you could even say that Daboll was an Andy Reid guy as well. Like,
Saban guy, too.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, at the end of the day, like, these guys are just working all – everybody's working for good coaches, right? I wouldn't consider Daboll a Belichick guy. I did consider Joe Judge that, though, because Joe Judge had a lot less experience than Daboll. Daboll's been to a lot of NFL franchises.
Daboll was a DC at one point, or on the defensive side of the ball.
I think in college, years, right?
Yeah.
So, like, his resume is a lot more impressive than Joe's.
All right, but sure. Before we go into Daboll, so one – I mean, again, bring this back to Joe Judge. I'm sorry, Joe Judge. You know, but I think what happened is during these interviews with the GM candidates, the Giants interviewed Joe Shane, they interviewed Ryan Poles, Adam Peters. They had a virtual with Jim Harditz. And there's one more that I'm missing, Murph.
Peters.
No, you said
Peters. I said Peters.
But it was really Poles or...
It was really only four of them.
No, yeah, well, it came down... The final three were Peters, Poles, and...
Oh, I mean, they had Phillips in, Adrian Phillips, and they also had...
Oh, yes. Right,
the Cardinals guys.
Adrian Wilson. Quinn Harris. Yeah, Adrian Wilson. That's right. So, but I think ultimately what came down is I think that they had already set their sights on Joe Shane, I think. And Joe Shane said to him, hey, look, if I come in, here's who I want to bring with me. I think he was pretty clear about that, Brian Daboll.
Yeah.
You know, I think Mara probably even made a push for Joe Judge. Said, hey, is there any way that, you know, would you keep Joe Judge as your head coach? I mean, we know that Mara, the one good thing about Mara, right, is like he's loyal to a fault almost. So I know that he probably made a push for Joe Judge. Hey, is there any way that you'd be willing to work with Joe? No. All right, and it's look,
probably one of the first questions he asks.
We got to give Mara some credit too, to a certain extent. He said he was going to be hands off, and he pretty much was.
Yeah. Let's save that because we can talk about it.
Yeah,
the Mara Met segment.
So Joe Judge got canned. All right, was I happy about that? No, you know how I felt about it, but it was imperative to get the GM that we wanted. I like Joe Shane a lot. About what he can bring to the table with his different facets of experience that he has in the NFL. I like the idea. I mean, one of the interviews that he talked about still having magnets up in the draft room. And, like, you know, it just goes to show how antiquated the New York Giants are in their ways. So I like to have a young guy in here, somebody that's talking about, hey, we're gonna get some screens in there. We're gonna do things this way. We're gonna apply a little bit of an analytical process to the way we make decisions. I like that. Seems like a fresh breath of air, which is exactly what the Giants needed.
Yeah.
So they got their GM, and I couldn't be happier. I think Joe Shane was my first choice as well. Murph really kind of introduced me to him and sold me on him, but I didn't want anybody else. I like Poles. Poles was young and Peters. But again, when I went back and I looked at it, the later round drafts and kind of see who hit where, to me, Joe Shane and Brandon Bean, right, it probably gets most of the credit, came out with more hits than from what I saw with Adam Peters. So I'm definitely excited about Joe Shane heading forward.
So I want to touch on the Judge thing really quick because I don't want to really harp on this too much because, you know, I want to talk about the new guys coming in. But just off the presser today, and you know, granted, maybe we've said this. We've been apologetic about it for a little bit. But a part of me wants to think that was who Joe Judge was, right? Like everything we saw, all the shit he was saying, all the window dressing and the tough guy persona. But it just bothered me seeing how loose and kind of authentic Daboll was today. And I get it, right? You're walking into a shit situation. So what is there to stress about? But like Joe was just so, I still think he lost himself the job. I just think he made it worse at the end of his time here. And that's what made it unrepairable. And that's the shittiness. And I just think he always had this, and there's no way to fully win over the New York media. I just feel like there was always this grindingness between the media and the message Joe was trying to get across, and no one bought into it. And we did. That was Joe.
Joe wasn't going to give him a pound of flesh. Joe even told him, he said, hey, what I say to you guys isn't what I'm saying to my guys in the locker room. Mm. And I think they don't like that, right? Because it gives them nothing to write about.
I just feel like there was a lot of tension even outside that, you know, everything is going to be analyzed anyways, but even it was even more so, right? I just feel like, and granted, a lot of it was out of Joe's control. So I'm not saying in any way we didn't give this guy a shit situation, and it is fucked that, you know, we might bring Patrick Graham back. But a part of me, like, it was almost like one of those things where it's like a weight off your shoulder. Like seeing this guy talk at the podium today, like that breath of fresh air, I know you mentioned it with Shane, I kind of felt that with Daboll as well. Like, for whatever reason, I just think it was just necessary because there was just a bad taste in everyone's mouth from Joe. And I don't know if it's because he wasn't authentic or not, but I just feel like he tried to do too much there.
Did
like,
you listen to Dave? Did you listen to Dable's presser today?
Yeah, the entire thing, his endless dad jokes.
And, yeah, and so with Chris from Giants Insider. Yeah. Like, oh, where are you from? Is South Carolina? And then I guess Matt Lombardo walked in late. Bobby Skinner posted. So I said, oh, sorry, I'm just guy here. He's like,
but like, it's even again. How his answers were, like when they're even talking expectation, it wasn't as cut and dry. He's like, dude, he's like, we're taking it day by day. Like, you know, very like loose. Like, we're going with the guys we got. Like, they referenced Danny every second they could. And the one takeaway, I mean, you could say it too. I know you're going to hint at it. I don't want to jump the gun here. But the thing about him have basically giving guys homework already on like what they like, what they didn't like, and adhering his offense to the team is essential.
Before we get fully into Dable, I want to get your thoughts on Joe Shane. But before I go there, though, too, did you see the introductory press conference today from the Bears head coach?
I saw it on TV. I didn't watch it.
Okay. Watch it again and tell me if it doesn't sound exactly like Joe Judge's press conference.
Yeah. Eberflus.
Watch it. Yeah, absolutely. So before we go into Brian Dable, because I know that you got a lot to say, what are your thoughts on Joe Shane? Anything in particular? Don't know enough about him? Like, where
you at with him? Yeah, I know enough about him. It's just for me, it's like the glaringly obvious ones are like, you know, the Gabe Davises of the world pop out, obviously. But for me, it's I think from the top down, it's a culture thing. And that's why I don't mind that they all go hand in hand. And I thought it was a fair question when we asked it on the last podcast, would it be okay? Cause we were automatically kind of linking tandems together. And I was like, is it wrong to think that maybe we get Shane and we don't get Dable? And I honestly think there wasn't a world where that was going to happen. And it's crazy because I don't know. I talked to a lot of Bills people and it's like, why, if you're these guys, right, even if you're Ken Dorsey, why leave, right? The Bills have had so much sustained success. And I think my biggest takeaway is that the Giants are still the Giants, and it's crazy. You know, we make jokes on Twitter about it, but, like, taking that culture, for me, it's all culture. For like, Shane, yeah, he's going to do his homework. These guys are going to work hard. Like, I don't need to nitpick and talk about his draft picks. I just think the body of work that they're going to bring in and with the respect that they already have with the tradition of the Giants means something. And I think it matters. And it's kind of like an effortless way to look at it between the two, where it's like, you know, again, we joked and everyone's like, oh, this isn't a desirable place. And it fucking is. And like, it just, to me, seems like we got guys, even though Buffalo's not New York, they've handled New York already from a different perspective and they want to own it. They've owned New York. They want to own it from the Mecca itself with the Giants. And honestly, like, it excites me how calm, cool, and collected these guys are right now. And they didn't have to do a lot of talking to do it. Just seems like it's a lot of respect and tradition there right now.
But you're wrong, though. You're wrong, though, Tino, because the media has told us that the Giants are an undesirable location. So, yes.
Yeah, I know. But
I mean, why would you go to New York when you can go to Miami and work with your quarterback?
And then that's the biggest thing. I mean, even with Dorsey right now, but you know something too?
Dorsey is the biggest surprise. I will admit that.
And they're doing their best to keep him. Yeah.
So with Dorsey, my buddy's one of my best friends is a diehard Bills fan. So he knew he was losing Dable, but he's not happy about the Dorsey stuff. I was going to have him on tonight, but so if you're Ken Dorsey, you've already basically almost, in my opinion, reached your peak with Josh Allen. Really, all that's left for you to do is win the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
So is it better for you to stay in Buffalo and keep that on your resume and just keep grinding with Josh Allen and just be like Josh Allen's guy? Or would it be more beneficial for him to go, one, possibly fix Danny. If it happens, it happens. Or get his own guy and do the same thing again. What makes him more valuable?
All right, the
latter, right?
So we're moving on to a coach conversation now, then, I assume, right?
I think they're all interchangeable, though. I think they're all interchangeable. They really are. Like, I know we want to go segment by segment here, but, I mean, the other part is, too, he's obviously going to make more by coming here as well. So
that's what makes you the more attractive head coach? Like, are you – I guess regardless.
Yeah,
I
mean, but there's also an element of failure, though, with that.
Exactly.
So he can also come here and fail under Daniel Jones, whereas he already knows what he has exactly. with Josh Allen.
That's why it's an interesting conversation. It's like, it's I'm not gonna lie, I'm surprised that he is considering New York, but at the same time, I do understand why he might want to, because like again,
he's never been an OC. I think you're wrong. I don't think it has anything to do with Daniel Jones or anything.
I think
at
money
all.
Talks, in my opinion. I think he's coming from money.
I think so. I think that Brian Daboll has a really good relationship with a lot of people. And I think because we've never really seen Brian Daboll as anything other than an offensive coordinator, we've never seen how those relationships actually develop.
Obviously, he has one with Patrick Graham.
But I wanted to say this, though, because you talk a lot about cohesiveness. I added an A instead of an O, but the cohesiveness of the ladder down, right, from the top down. And maybe ownership will always have a disconnect from everyone else in this organization, right? I mean, there's no stopping it. They are who they are anyways. But having these guys kind of wanting these other people, like Shane wanting Daboll, Daboll wanting Dorsey, and all of them kind of being together, and even with Graham, like I'm just thinking back to what you were saying, like maybe we could have gave Judge a chance. It's like, these guys have worked so well together and have so much ground, foundation built on just what they're looking for, that they don't have to even go an extra step. It's like just running a pick and roll with someone. They know this dude, what this guy is going to do and where he's going to be, and the outcome is going to be there. I love it. I love every part of it right now. I think all of them work interchangeably. And that's why as a whole, I think we can talk about it, because each of them matter to the next. And now I'm looping in Dorsey and we don't have him yet, but even just the two man between Daboll and Shane, I think that situation is just healthier for them if we did keep Judge here. I think that's the biggest
thing. But I'm also very indifferent on the Graham decision.
I know you said that today when I texted you guys. I honestly didn't know that, like, it was really an option.
Well, like, I figured it was probably there. Top three for me, but like, I don't know, man. Like, this whole, like, we all wanted to clean house.
Yeah.
So, like, if we keep Patrick Graham and Henderson, cool, but like, dude, it should stop there.
Do you think that's almost to protect the investment a little bit because they have so much on the defensive side? Is that why they spent all that money because it's Patrick Graham's guy? Like, that's why they.
Well, I agree with Mage. Like, why break the defense if you don't have to? So, in a sense, like, it's okay because it's consistency for them. And that is a strong part of our defense. And I know a lot of people talk about, you know, how we give up points at the end of halves and stuff. But in my opinion, that's all because of our offense being completely shit. And just bad luck.
The defense spent too much time on the field.
Exactly. Early
in the season last year, I think whatever it was, week 6 or 7, I said that there are two people I would let go on this team. It would be Dave Gettleman and Jason Garrett. Aside from that, I would bring everybody else back. So now when Joe Judge got fired, I've had conversations with my boy Matt, and I said to him, I'm like, bring in an offensive coordinator to be the head coach then. Because that was the worst part of our team for the last 2 fucking years. I mean, we were second to the Jets 2 years in a row, 31st for our offense. So now, right, if you had Joe Judge and you bring in an OC – and he ends up doing really well, like Patrick Graham did, and he starts getting head coaching opportunities, then now you're on to the next one. If you have the OC here, that's your head coach, he's not moving on to anything else. He's already kind of at the pinnacle of his career, so to speak. So your offense is never going to necessarily go backwards because he can always implement those things. And we've seen that success with added those types of coaches, Sean Payton, McVay, Zach Taylor this year, right? Got the Bengals in the Super Bowl. The offensive coach is the way to go. And I always thought it was the defensive side of the ball. But times have changed. When I played football, it was defensive heavy. Defense won championships. That was the motto. Not so much anymore.
But I will say this, Mage, to hop in, I think defense still wins championships. Like, I was talking about this all day today. The Bengals' defense is being completely overlooked, and I get it because of what their identity is as offense. But I think to the first part there, that's where the NFL is going. And, right, so we compare Judge to Harbaugh so many times because he's a special teams guy. I think it's time to just look at Harbaugh more as the anomaly. And I'm not saying, like, I'm not trying to make this a knock on Joe. It's just, like, that's so hard to find to sustain success with. And it's more that the NFL right now is just about having an identity on offense. And we haven't had that at all. I mean, this team hasn't had an identity as a whole in a really long time, right? Our defense has been that. But it's so essential. And so the one thing I was thinking about, and they asked him at the press conference today, whether he will be calling plays or not. I think it matters, and I would like to see him calling plays because I also think, and, you know, I don't remember where you guys stood on this because I know Joe wasn't really active, and I don't remember exactly where you were at. But I think our aggressiveness on offense goes hand-in-hand with the coach's mentality. And if he's calling these play callings or making the play-calling decisions, I think it adds the aggressiveness to our offense, which we desperately needed. I don't think we were that far off.
So I heard – and before I go back to your point, you know, so – the one thing that I was making about bringing in Brian Daboll, again, is I think that the offense was the biggest issue with this team, not being able to move that football. Now, whether that was Joe Judge's mentality, Jason Garrett, I don't know who's to blame for it, but it obviously wasn't working. So to your question or to Murph's question about retaining Patrick Graham, I'm completely fine with that because I was fine with it heading into the offseason. Graham's defense got a little worse this year. It wasn't top 10 scoring defense, but it didn't fall off the charts. I think he was 15th or something scoring defense. I think 23rd offense or something like that. So it still wasn't bad. And consider how many pieces he lost on the defense throughout the year. Blake Martinez, A-Rob wasn't there to start the season. He lost Rodarius Williams, lost Jabril Peppers. He lost a lot of players on that defense. And it, honestly, like Murph alluded to, if it wasn't for the time of possession, probably would have been a better defense if the offense could stay on field.
Yeah.
Now, to your point, though, Tino, I heard on Tiki and Tierney today, they actually brought up a really good point. And it's true if you think about it. A head coach calling offensive plays might not be as aggressive as they were as an offensive coordinator. OC – you got more to prove. As in head coach, you got more to lose. So in terms of the aggressiveness, you might not end up seeing the same thing if it's your head coach calling the play.
Well, it goes hand in hand because if we want to bring up, the two guys in McVay and Taylor, they go for it on fourth down a shit ton. But it was more that I think we look at this team struggles as like schematics, as like the overall scheme of our offense sucked, which it did. But the things that always jump out to me is not even just the overall aggressiveness on fourth down. It's more towards the end of games. It's urgency, not aggressiveness. Urgency is the term I'm looking for. This team had none. Zero. Zero urgency to do anything. Zero urgency to put points on the board to start a game, end a half, open a half, and like anything. No urgency to even put together. Like, we weren't even good at game planning is my point. And so there's going to be that with this team. Yeah, like just having an offensive-minded coach.
There's going to be multiple. There's going to be multiple. Because if Dabble's calling the coach or the plays, then he's still going to have a QC, a quarterback coach, and an OC under him. So there's going to be minds on offense everywhere, unlike what we just had. So
we had a lot of minds, and we had a lot of bodies. Really, no minds, is the way to put it.
I mean, we had Kitchens and Garrett. That was it.
Yeah.
But
no, but to Tino's point, and, you know, I'll repeat it since I think no one heard your joke. We had a lot of bodies, not enough minds.
Yeah, seriously.
I mean, it's true. We had so many coaches, more than we could shake a stick at. And somehow all those minds together in one room wasn't able to come with any sort just of game plan.
That's why I like that Dad will stand back, not going to the Senior Bowl, building the staff. So
the one thing I don't like, though, is it was rumored today that we could be looking at Bobby Johnson, the offensive line coach from the Buffalo Bills, too. Now, look, I wanted Joe Shane. I wanted Brian Daboll. I wanted Ken Dorsey, but the buck stops there, though. Yeah. And there was a tweet and somebody had posted something too. And it's a good response. They said, I'm sorry, I missed the Bills dynasty. Why are we poaching everybody from the Bills? It's not like,
here's the other way to look at it.
Not the Patriots.
But we all got excited, and not we all, just as Giant fans, when we were changing guards after Coughlin, and we were basically the Carolina Cardinals, and we took everyone from Arizona and everyone from Carolina. I mean, for me, it's like we took them from two failing franchises at the time. I mean, Carolina had the one good year with Cam winning 15 games, and other than that, they weren't really sustained success. So for me, it's like, yeah, I get what you're saying. Why do we want to take everyone from the Bills? It's not like their offensive line's world beaters, and I don't. But it could be worse off. It could be worse off. Like, I don't hate the idea entirely. Again, roll back to what we talked about the last podcast. Like, did they have to go hand in hand? No, but the fact that they did isn't the worst thing in the world. It's just there's a proven track record with it, with what they did in Buffalo. Dude, Buffalo has been making the postseason now. I mean, the postseason runs for half a decade, years. A little bit more.
Well, I think
they were making runs with Tyrod.
The attractive thing with Shane, though, is because, like, you know, they were a dumpster forever. He was there from start to beginning, or beginning to end. But obviously, with BD, it's all about Josh Allen. Dude, I don't know if I was saying to Major, either one of you earlier, but it's a dream come true situation for an offensive staff. Mm-hmm. They have nobody that they have to be really, like, attach their wagon to, per se. I mean, they're going to give Danny a shot. And they're going to give Saquon a shot. But, like,
for sure,
they don't have to, like, they don't owe them shit.
Speaking of Big Dick Danny, the one thing – sorry, Murph, I had to cut you off.
Living in the middle of a snowstorm on Saturday.
Right, yeah.
At the fucking facility.
In the middle of the winter storm here on Saturday, Dable said that he drove all the way down from Buffalo in the middle of the winter storm. Guess who was in the only person there was Danny. I don't know what he was doing. They're hitting the gym or whatnot. But I'm telling you, man, I want this fucking kid to succeed so bad. I don't care if I get called the Daniel Jones homer anymore. I just don't. I love the kid. I love his traits. But, oh, and by the way, holy shit. I don't know how we can't bring this up. John Mara finally taking some accountability and agreeing that he's fucked up Daniel Jones.
Yeah, that should.
And he's making jokes about large sodas today. Who is this man?
Yeah, like, well, fuck the large sodas. Crazy. But, I mean, John Mara is fucking absolutely right. He said, we've done everything. And we've said this. We've said this. I know if Frank the Tank's going to kill me because he's when I point out when we say something. But, I mean, John Mara said, we have done everything we can to ruin this kid. And that is the one fucking thing we talked about time and time and time again on this podcast over the years, especially this year, how he did not look like the same guy in 2019. They absolutely ruined him. And I'm glad that John Mara came out and he's taking responsibility. I just hope it's not too late because you know what? Danny being in the offices during a snowstorm when everybody's home, that's just fucking great, man. I mean, I love this kid. His work ethic is through the roof. And I'll tell you what. No, I will say this right now. Guess what, guys? He's not going to be Josh Allen. He's not going to be. But I know that Dable loved the idea of working with Danny because he has a lot of physical traits that Josh Allen does, with the exception of the rocket arm. Tall quarterback, 6'5".
But I think
guy can run. He's also an accurate deep passer. Allows him to open up this game.
I don't think, though, I don't think he's going to naturally try to put him in Josh Allen's situation. I just don't. Like, that's the one thing I took away from this, though. And this is what we've been begging for. And not everyone does in the NFL, is Daniel Jones has a lot of traits similar to Josh Allen, but Daniel Jones is not Josh Allen. So you need to build the offense around Daniel Jones and not try to put him.
I think they need to go West Coast, you know.
Well, whatever they got to do, I think if you heard his responses today and even about what Danny did well and what he thought he didn't do well and just adapting that to the playbook and just him even talking about how the game's evolving, right? And he was just talking about how all he said, obviously, 21 years in the NFL, 21 years. But he's like, there's been so much adapting. He's like, if you were to tell me 20 years ago that we'd be getting praised for running RPOs and doing what we did with Josh Allen, I'd say you're crazy. I think having an offensive minded coach at the top allows that adaptability to come as the NFL is changing and progressing, because we're all year in you know, the RPO world, and you're already seeing positionless players. We have a guy in Kadarius Toney. We're getting jazzed up about Danny. We're getting, what can he do with these guys? What can he do with those players in unlocking their abilities? I just think him being there is a step in the right direction for us, because the NFL is changing and we were still stuck in the 2002 Giants that we need to catch up. We need to catch up, and this guy's willing to adapt and willing to bring the players along with him to adapt and adapt to them and have them come into the offense. The adaptability is huge. That's everything, and we haven't had it. That was our biggest gripe with Jason Garrett. He's trying to put this kid in something he doesn't fit. So I don't think Dable's coming in here saying, yeah, we're going to make Daniel Jones the Josh Allen. I think he's going to say, all right, we have fucking Daniel Jones. What can we do with him? What does he do well? And I think that's the biggest
thing. Good point.
We hadn't seen.
Brian Daboll today asks, what you're alluding to is Brian Daboll asks Jones, hey, what do you like about the offense last year? What did you like at your time at Duke? So he's trying to find things that Daniel Jones is comfortable in, or situations that he's comfortable in. You know, and I think that's great, because again, I think his confidence is destroyed. So if he can find some a system or plays that Daniel Jones is comfortable in, that'd be good to get some of his confidence back, because right now, I think he's been ruined. Murph?
No, I mean, it's like how we started the conversation. It's an offensive staff's dream. Like Tino said, like, he can either bring in his guys, or there's guys here that he try to salvage. I'm happy. Y'all knew I wanted offense. I had no interest in any Flores or Frazier or any of that talk, because I wanted to know the sure shot that can develop my quarterback. And Major and I talked about this way before in the search, or early on in the search. I mean, I don't give a shit. I wanted someone who can either develop Danny or develop the next guy, because at the end of the day, we have nothing. We have nothing, nothing but an okay defense. So I'm happy with that. I don't know that he's going to set the world on fire and be some Super Bowl winning coach, but he's the guy that I wanted.
I also think, though, Murph, you were on this before anyone, and I was right there with you, but it's like Shane meant shit. Like, Shane was great, too. Like, I loved his work alone, but, I mean, I love Shane because it gave us a step up to get Dable, which I felt like he was the only offensive candidate other than Josh McDaniels, which no one saw coming and is an absolute disaster move by the Raiders. But other than Brian Dable, it's like there's nothing else out there. So if we can get Shane and we can put a leg up in getting him, like, it all meant nothing if we didn't get him. Like, I wouldn't have mind taking a shot on Poles to take a younger round and a different look. Because let's put it that way, I would have definitely liked what the 49ers foundation looked like compared to the Buffalo Bills, right? I mean, if we're looking at this as like a glass half full kind of thing, like, the 49ers sustained success significantly more than the Buffalo Bills. So
I hate to be like this.
So it all meant nothing without Dable.
I hate to be like this, but like, the rookies that get drafted this year are going to be huge for all us fans that are like interested in the development of this team. Because if these kids don't buy into the Dable system, then nobody's going to buy into that system, you know, the Joe Judge system, whatever. So, I mean, we're going to have a lot of rookies too that are going to have to be relied on. So, I mean, Shane's got to go to work immediately. The good thing is he's been scouting already. It's not like he's just got hired and he hadn't done this before. He's been scouting for the Bills the entire offseason, or the entire season. So that's nothing new to him. He just switched teams. But it's going to be a slew of burn, boys. And both of them, both Brian and Joe, mentioned getting rid of some of the cap space, man. It's going to happen. So that's going to be interesting as well. I know Major was all up in that this morning, but there's going to be some guys that are going to go that we're not going to like to see. I don't know who that's going to be, but there's going to be some decisions for sure.
Well, the other thing, not just about getting to a certain cap number, is Joe Shane also talked about not kicking the can down the road either, right? So some of these guys, I know myself included, but a lot of people on Twitter, cut this person, trade that person. Well, it also depends too, right? I started looking at a lot of bottom roster guys, because they're not going to cost you as much dead cap as the top of the roster. So if you can trim some fat that way too. But
wasn't it interesting that Shep was there today?
No,
he's going to fucking play for this team if he can, man.
I thought it was a little interesting. everyone's writing him off again. You know, we're here a year later, same thing. People are saying he's going to get cut.
Yeah, but I love Sterling Shepard as a person. And I mean, I'm sure that he would do whatever he can, but the problem is that best ability is availability. He just hasn't been available.
Well, at this point, he is nothing but a reserve. So, like, I mean, if he came back, he'd have to be like an ace.
Yeah, like he's, I mean, less. Right now, you're 1-2 heading into next year's got to be Golladay and Tony.
To me, you can't even have Shep crack the top three. So, like, he's an extra afterthought just on the team.
And I'll say it, but I mean, the Giants need to look at taking another wide receiver second and third round.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. I just said it. Like, we are going to have to rely on a lot of.
I saw Slayton tweeting, and I'm like, why is Darius Slayton tweeting? He's gone. He's gone.
We're going to have to rely on a lot of guys that are like late round wide receivers, street guys, real cheap undrafted wide receivers. Like, guys, obviously, we know big picture here, but like, next year is going to be rough. So, but those holes still have to be filled. Like, you still have to have guys to play, right? Like, we know that next year is going to be tough. But
by the way,
hit, man.
There is nobody more hyped to be a New York Giant than Antonio Williams.
Yeah, man. My buddy I mentioned earlier, he's a big Antonio Williams fan. The Bills fans were loving Antonio Williams in the I think it was preseason. It was early on.
Yeah.
If not, but it's kind of, isn't that kind of weird?
What?
Just like the day after, or the day of Shane's like first day, he just signed a run with.
It's just
so random. Just like, you would think if they're going to take a bunch of like future reserves, they'd do them in like a wave, but they just signed a running back casually on Joe's first day.
Hey, look, maybe it was somebody that he scouted personally and that he really believes in, that he's right. So, hey, get him in here if that's his guy, too.
He's cool.
The other thing, too, that we haven't talked about is Saquon. Saquon will play on the last year of his deal unless he gets traded. I'm excited, honestly, to see what a guy like Saquon can do in a Brian Daboll type of offense. We saw Devin Singletary play pretty well. He's not the pedigree that Saquon is. Saquon, unless he can improve his blocking, will still be a liability in pass protection. But I'm excited to see what, you know.
I think Saquon can be coached up. I think he can be coached up. I think he's a coachable player. And I think that he just needs someone to get their foot in his ass and tell him to run downhill. I think if Saquon stopped toe tapping and trying to balance everything and just put his head down, I think, like, just look at what Devin Singletary was able to do this year, and all he did was run forward. It's not like he did anything creative. He just ran forward.
But I think you got to get Saquon outside. Stop trying to run him inside, though, too. Right? Because the other thing is, too, his vision. Like, Devontae Booker is a great inside runner. He'll see the hole and he hits it. Saquon's always looking for that cut. But if you get him outside, which elongates his vision and his steps, you know, it allows him to see that extra hole or make that extra cut, which is what he's really good at doing. And look, I could care less if Saquon Barkley gets fucking 150 targets and only runs the ball 100 times. Use him however you have to. Just get him the fucking ball. If you got to use him more in the passing game, use him in the passing game then. Stop trying to, you know, Joe Judge's old line of, you know, trying to shove square pegs into round holes. What's up, Murph?
He's on. Nothing, man. I'm good.
All right, so you unmute like twice during that, so I think you had something.
Yeah, I don't want to be anti-Joe Judge, but I mean, I feel like I've come night and day on the guy. Like, I've been like trying to fight for him for the last couple of years, and now it's like
I'll tell you this, Tino,
and it's like, fuck, man.
I'll tell you this, Tino. Reserve those feelings until the first game of the season.
But I'm not even like excited. I'm not as excited after this presser as I was when Joe was saying all these right things.
I agree with you, but that's why I'm saying though too, right? I mean, we were all excited about Joe Judge. Hey, last year too, we went 6-10, almost made the playoffs. That's 7-9, which would have been pathetic, but still, I mean, we got my top GM candidate. We got my top head coaching candidate. But it all means nothing until the draft, until I see how we apply those that draft capital, until the first practice, until I see what they're doing in preseason, until I see the depth chart.
And for what it's
worth, can we sustain injuries?
I heard this take too, and it's like, why is this a great spot? Well, look at the division, right? The Eagles, Washington, blah, and then the Cowboys are the Cowboys. Well, I will say this, they're under fire because, you know, we shit on Philadelphia. Philadelphia was a playoff team this year, and they're in a great spot with their draft picks. So, you know, like, a lot of people are still looking at this as the NFC, like, least, which I get, but, you know, it's a meaningful draft for this division as well. I mean, the Eagles are players in this thing. They got some good value. So, you know, Dallas is going to be Dallas no matter what, and, you know, for the foreseeable future at least, until they lose Kellen Moore and trust, you know, the entire team in Mike McCarthy's hands, which will fuck everything up. But the Eagles, I think, are going to be all right. I think they're going to be around, and Washington isn't going anywhere. They're going to be a sound team. So, Commanders. A lot of people are saying we could quickly turn this thing around. I saw a few of those, like, oh, this is like a step in the right direction. And maybe it is. But to your point, I think the draft matters a lot. The draft matters a lot this year.
Here was my biggest problem with the Giants that was – on full display last year. There was such a dramatic drop off once Danny went out. So either our depth was horrendous or our play calling and execution was that bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, pick your poison. So
could be bad, but Danny was just playing out of his mind.
But that's the thing though. I mean, Danny was that good, but still the play calling wasn't great though. So was a play calling and execution awful, or was the depth real? Like that's the whole thing. Like, if we get, you know, Brian Daboll in here or Joe Shane, I want to see the second team play as well as the first team. I want to see no drop off. And I think when you do that, I think that's how you have sustained success. That's the Patriot model, right? Next man up.
But that's a lot of teams' models this year. Just look at it. And that's the thing. Like, I hated the excuse of, like, we were out without Danny because I had to watch the Baltimore Ravens, even though they were losing games, compete week in and week out with Tyler Huntley. And like, you know, the Broncos of the world where it's like they were hot and cold with their two quarterbacks, but at least they were hot at some point. Like, you know what I mean? Like, just because I understand the value in a starting quarterback, but like the Dallas Cowboys won on primetime in Minnesota with Cooper Rush. Like, I don't want to hear it. Like, I don't want to hear that excuse anymore because we're at the stage of the NFL right now, or we're at the point in time where good teams are good teams and quarterbacks, as much as the premier positions, you know, you can win with a competent backup. There is so much talent in the league now. If you have a competent backup or a competent, you know, foundation around you that you can keep things within reach to make a play at the end of the game and win it. So I just did not like seeing that like Danny was out. We kind of just threw in the towel. It was shitty. And it was that for the end.
I don't know if we threw in the towel. We just couldn't execute. The other thing, which is interesting, Murph, tell me if I'm wrong, but I believe we fired most of our medical staff, didn't we? I'm pretty sure that we did. I thought I saw it somewhere. Or they were removed from the website or something to that nature, maybe alluding to the fact that they may have been let go.
Weirdly enough, I was going to note something that I'm not saying he's like going to win me over, but I'm glad that Mara stopped being a coward. John Mara is like kind of coming around. Like, I think this guy's like, he's coming, peeking his head out of the weasel hole that it was in, and he's like realizing like there's no hiding from this fucking problem, and he needed to address it head on, which he should have done from the beginning. But it's, again, step in the right direction. Like, you guys hinted at it already, like with what he said and how he's going about it. Like, I mean, this guy a month ago to where he is now, I think is already night and day. So, you know, obviously they made the decisions that they needed to, but
I do that's think a big part of this. He's going to let Shane do what he wants to do. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting to hear that, because I'm sure Mara had to say yes to this too, but it was interesting to hear that Abrams was willing to give up the assistant GM title too. Mm-hmm. So I do think Mara's doing it. I don't know why. Don't ask me why. I think this was just like a week ago, but like I do think they're doing the right thing this time. I really do. But the problem is it's just the guys that are they're giving the opportunity to need to pull through. But I do think.
But to the point, like even just on the speak, like even the regular coach speak, I feel like Dable's a first year head coach too. But it was like I felt like Judge always had something to prove. And I don't know why I feel like Dable's like kind of coming in here and I had to get again. Shit situation. So it's
different
very,
personality.
I'm telling y'all, Joe Judge wanted to play fucking boring football and shove the shit out of Danny. And John didn't want it, man. He had no fucking answer for what John wanted on offense. When he walked into John's office on that Sunday or that Monday morning and John said, "What are you going to do to fix the team?" He had no plan for the offense, man. He had none. And that's all that Merrick cared about. But all right, bro, boys,
any closing remarks?
Yeah, Mage, really quick, I saw a tweet today that after the lockout by John Heyman, the Mets are going to continue to spend add depth pitchers and a bunch of bats and bring their salary cap up to $300 million. So
I'm all for it. All for it. I don't give a fuck. Not my money.
So. Bring it past $300 million. Let's fucking go.
I don't care. I'm ready for it. So what are we doing next week, guys? Are we taking off until the summer or what? All right. We'll keep them guessing. Tino, what is this? Episode 98?
Yeah, 98. So all we gotta keep going.
Well, we gotta do something big for the 100th.
Maybe we do one more legitimate episode, and then for the 100th episode, we just go off the fucking rails.
Yeah, we gotta have like a bunch of people in, make it like a 2-hour episode or something.
Who's winning the Super Bowl?
Maybe it should be in person. Maybe we could do the 100th episode at Merce Wedding.
We're not invited to. Honestly, we could. Who's winning the Super Bowl, boys? I know you gotta get me. One answer each.
I'm going with the Bengals.
Going with the Bengals?
I'm sticking with the Bengals.
I want the Bengals.
The home team are the Bengals.
Right.
Are they?
Technically, they are the home team. Yeah.
I haven't seen that yet.
By the way, this is the second time in 2 years. I mean, last year was the first time ever, right? That a home team hosted. Now, all of a sudden, it's the second time in forever. So back-to-back years, there is a home team representing in their own stadium.
Yeah, the actual first time ever stat that you could throw out there, there's never been a team to host an NFC Championship game and then the Super Bowl back-to-back. So they also that's the big thing.
The first time ever?
That's the first time ever because the Bucks
Loses its luster, right? Because the Bucks, it was like, oh, wow, the Bucks are hosting their own stadium Super Bowl. How great. But Tampa Bay's always kind of hosted Super Bowls. I don't know. Now it's starting to lose its luster. Fuck the Rams. I don't care.
Well, let's go Odell. I just want to see Giants.
Fuck Odell? Game. All right. Fuck Odell. You heard it. Tino said it here. Fuck Odell.
Sure.
All right. That's going to wrap up this episode. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Peace and love, everyone.